Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack, go.
Packers on track to stack wins in the season.
Go Pack, go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. We're talking the preseason game against the Patriots, recap and analysis, as well as the greater roster and the Packers amongst the division. Where do they stand? Getting on your fan questions and more. Thank you for tuning in. We're happy to have you here. Let's get into
Welcome
the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichsted. I'm your host, and Packers fans, I want to thank you for tuning in today from the over 100 countries. Packers Nation is huge. It is loud right now, and the Packers are looking good. They are now 2 games through preseason. They took on the Patriots, so we have game recap for you there. We're going to give some analysis, thoughts on the roster, and more. And then we're going to answer a lot of fan questions that have been written in, and as well as just touch on all things green and gold here on the Ike Packers podcast. So make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review if you like today's show, and share it with a friend. That's the number one way you can help us. I'm joined today by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome back. Mid-preseason, how you feeling?
What is going on, Packers fans? I'm feeling great. Alex is kind of setting the lay of the land. You know, for me, Packers Nation, we see it getting bigger and bigger each week. I don't know if anyone out there has seen the movie Braveheart. It's kind of like in the very beginning, it starts off with a small group of believers, William Wallace, you know, maybe the people who believed in the Packers and Jordan Love, you know, not like an entire humongous, you know, millions and millions of people in the first moment. But what happens is they start to experience small success and small success. Like maybe they, you know, save a village here and then they get more followers. Maybe they, you know, win a battle here and then they get many more followers. And you could say the same thing. It's kind of like if anyone follows Roman history, it's like Spartacus, the famous slave who ended up revolting and just winning all these battles and amassing all these followers. It's like that's what's going on with Packers Nation right now. We see the listener numbers. We see the impression numbers. Shout to Twitter for that first payment from X.com. Shout to Elon. But every week they're getting bigger. You know, it's almost like the Packers are getting small victories on the left, small victories on the right, small victories on the practice field, small victories in the game. And Packers Nation is just like pulsating in the upward direction, kind of growing stronger and stronger, which excites me. And I think it should excite all sorts of Packers fans all over the place. I'm excited to dive into it, Al. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Packers fans, we're going to start off with the game. Preseason game 2 ended with 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, cut short. At that time, the Patriots were up 21-17, but it was anyone's game. Packers at home. You like Green Bay's chances of coming back and winning. So I really chalk it up as a draw, but Packers take the loss on it. 1-1 in preseason. Doesn't really matter to me, though, KJ, because Jordan Love once again looked really, really good. And we put out, you know, how would you grade Jordan Love's performance on Ike Packers on Twitter? And I was surprised to see generally a lot of people, you know, grading it C, because to me, he has passed the preseason test so far with flying colors. I feel really confident with Jordan Love. He looks sharp. The criticism I see about him not having velocity on his throws, they look faster than 12s. They look faster than 12s. And, Cage, I think he's just a great all-around athlete. So he's really impressed me. What were your thoughts on Jordan Love, who finished 5 of 8 for 84 yards and 1 touchdown?
Same here, man. He's the real deal. He's showing consistency. But just to bring it back to that analogy for a sec, like, Jordan Love is the equivalent of, like, the rebel guy who kind of builds his army. Like, he doesn't have he doesn't have the nicest armor. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be this, like, decked-out knight, this decked-out king with, like, you know, the most dazzling armor. It's like, that's almost like the Patrick Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady. You know, Jordan Love's going to be scrapping. He's going to be a scrapper. I think he looks smooth. One takeaway I had is he just looked very, like, not in a bad way, but just like calm out there when he was making his throws. Like certain guys, I would say, have like higher effort deliveries than others. Jordan Love looks smooth as can be. His deep throws, you know, his, like, drilling it into Jaden Reed for that touchdown pass. Like, he looked as calm as you could be for, like, muscling a throw into a tight window that it was. You know, a lot of QBs, they just don't
look
that smooth. But, yeah, man, Jordan Love, he's not going to get any of the sexy points right now. And to your next point about, you know, the comments, Rick grading him as C, I think, you know, relative to expectations, which is how people tend to judge things in life and with everything, like, relative to expectations, I think Jordan Love is doing phenomenal. So, for me, I'd grade him like an A-minus, B-plus type of range. Obviously, things could be better. It sounds like he's going to be playing in the third preseason game. I'm very excited for that. I'll be at the game, so let us know if you're heading to that game as well. But, yeah, man, anyone who's been in the Twitter trenches, the trenches in X, whatever you like to call it, knows that oftentimes when you go to the comments, right, it tends to lean more negative than positive. At least that's been my overwhelming experience. So there's exceptions to every rule, but... You know, there's a lot of Jordan Love haters. You know, I think the camp is like, it was trendy, because you see this all over the place, Packers fans, because you're smart. I would say Packers fans are much, you know, more knowledgeable than the average fan base. These national huge media outlets, they go where the clicks are ripe, right? Like, where the click harvest can be had. And there really wasn't, like, when the Packers had Aaron Rodgers, there was, like, fresh click harvest every season. You know, just, like, harvest the clicks, easy money.
Just dragging your quarterback
across the mud. But now with Jordan Love, like, these national media outlets, they don't really view him as being, like, as bountiful harvest with the clicks. But you can see over the last 2 weeks, that's been a little... You know, it's like they're switching sides.
People to Love's defense because when Colin Cowherd came after Jordan Love, Packers Nation, us included, were like, what? You know, like, we'll back this guy up. And you see it in the offensive line, too. They are absolutely doing everything they can to protect their quarterback, Jordan Love. And that is a skill that does not translate to the box score. I was having this conversation with this guy at lunch today about these things that appear in the box score. Or don't. And chemistry is one that doesn't. And another one, Cage, is how hard your teammates play for you.
Great,
right?
Man.
Jordan Love has his offensive line absolutely, you know, trying to keep him upright at every second, fighting for him, backing him up, you know, having some attitude for him. Like, Big E's going to lead that charge. And
nobody wants to see him fail. Nobody wants to see him fail. Like, no one in town, I think, wants to see him fail. I think there are a lot of people who... say, hey, I'm going to take this side in the click war. I'm going to take the anti-Jordan
Aaron Jones
Love
is like, I'm going to do everything I can to help him. You know, like Christian Watson's like kind of in the same camp. You know, he's going to be trying to ball. But really the guys who are older than Jordan Love mostly fall in the running back room, the offensive line room. And those are the, you know, staples of the Packers offense that I expect Jordan Love to lean on this season. Meanwhile, Cage... You look at a guy like Jonathan Taylor, who's now left the Colts and kind of had this thing. You wonder how his offensive line is going to react to this. You wonder about how that was for Russell Wilson in Denver last year when he brought in his own trainers and staff. You know, Love has, you know, guys who are really like all behind him.
Well, it's like you know how NFL players are always like, hey, go get your money, bro, or like, go get that money. It's like they obviously support other brethren taking care of their families, right? Like, who doesn't? You know, you want your friends' families to be good. You want your families, your aunts and uncles, you want their individual families to be good. You don't want to see them struggle. However, if you've ever been in, like, tryouts in the beating hot sun, whether it's, like, football, soccer, basketball, you know, you're just grinding yourself till you feel like you're going to throw up, or the coaches are pushing you, because that's usually how these types of things are, training camp, tryouts, whatever it might be, if someone is, like, mysteriously sick that day or has, like, a doctor's appointment that day or something, you're like, yo, get out here and suffer with the rest of us. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Sacking off? You know, and, like, that's how everyone feels. So they can say, oh, no, they're in full support. They're in full support. They are in full support of him and his family being good. You know, they are in full support of their brethren being good. But they ain't happy that he ain't out there, you know, sweating like the rest of them. They ain't happy he ain't out there jilling like the rest of them. And I think that almost was like that contributed to the divide between Aaron Rodgers and some of the other, you know, just overall cohesiveness in the Packers franchise these past few years. Like, you got to be doing it. Like, a leader or a boss or anyone who gets their hands dirty, whether it's at, like, you know, let's say you're splitting wood. You know, we're in Wisconsin, so You know, trees fall down, chop the wood, hey, chainsaw the wood,
split the wood. We chopped that wood in our day.
If someone is helping you, you're going to have a lot more respect for them and that they're just chilling there, twiddling their thumbs with their hands in their pockets. And that's just the reality. Love is in the trenches. Jonathan Taylor isn't really in the trenches right now. Aaron Rodgers is kind of trying to make a great first impression. He doesn't have this get-out-of-jail-free card. So he's, of course, getting back into the trenches. It's great to see, man.
He was taking celebrity seasons out of the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
He was taking celebrity seasons in the offseason. That's what he was doing. Especially Cage. You know, I think Jay Love is, they're like, look, this guy's put in his time. He's been patient. He's been nothing but a good character. And we want to help him out. And, you know, speaking of that, Cage, let's flip to the other side of the ball, the defense, right? You know, and talk about really what the Packers' defense can be this year. Because, I mean, you've kind of been able to measure them up a little bit. Where do you think the Packers are going to get some of their big plays on defense? And I guess, do you have any predictions?
Man, I think it's coming from all angles. I know he's got, you know, people are calling him JJ now, I guess, but Kingsley Enagbare. I'm going to keep calling him Kingsley because it just sounds cool. You know, he's dominating. Me too. Kingsley Enagbare has proven that he's, like, good enough to make the squad. He doesn't have to play in the preseason. I mean, I think he had two sacks and a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. And if you saw the tape, those were violent sacks. Like, it reminded me, I'm not making a comparison here, but it reminded me of Dwight Freeney for the Indianapolis Colts, the way he was just, like, you know, brushing the defender's hands off him in a violent way, and getting, like, the playmaking, turnover-producing, game-changing impacts that every good team needs. I mean, man, if you look at our defensive line, you got Lucas Van Ness, first-round pick, Devontae Wyatt, first-round pick, Kenny Clark, first-round pick, Rashawn Gary, first-round pick, Preston Smith, you know, very capable pass rusher, Quay Walker, first-round pick, Devondre Campbell, very capable linebacker, Eric Stokes, first-round pick, Jair Alexander, first-round pick, Darnell Savage, first-round pick, like, Kingsley Enagbare,
better have a good defense.
Sprinkle it on top, right? Like, sprinkle some Kingsley on top. Sprinkle
you need
some Corey
these guys,
Valentine
Cage.
On top. Like, man.
First round picks doesn't translate to Packers good defense.
I played some Madden for the first time in years, right? Because I had the craving. And
had
what
it
happened
bad.
Is the defense, the Packers defense is actually number one in the NFL. Full disclosure, it's
is
all
it?
Pro rating.
Wow.
So it's like, what if the Packers just had the number one unit? Wouldn't that be sweet? Like, And really, do you know what's going to take them from number one? Like, because right now we're in, like, the 10 to 20 range, man. Do you know what's going to take a leap like that? Like, the talent is not lacking. It's either going to be coaching or it's going to be, like, overall chemistry and just, like, playing fast and loose. Kind of like, you know, just not having, like, the walking on eggshells aspect
I think it's
of
just
maybe
the,
having Rodgers
Are they
going
to be
anymore?
Tough finally, Cage? Like, how many years do we have to keep asking ourselves, are they going to be tough on defense? Like, when they had Charles Woodson, they were bona fide tough on defense. They maybe
they
weren't the number one. They weren't the number one stat defense, but you had
turnover
to kind of fear
producing.
The defense, right? Clay Matthews was out there lurking. You had multiple players, Nick Collins, who could, like, take you to the house, and that's what the Packers need. Jair Alexander, you kind of saw it at the end of last season coming into his own. You see it, you know, him getting scrappy with guys always in practice or in, you know, I want to see it, you know, take over. Rasul Douglas, he's going to have to keep making big plays. And it's going to have to come from other guys, Cage, for the Packers to really have a fear defense. Like, guys have to sink all at the same time. It can't just
spread
be Jair has
around.
A good year.
Yeah,
it has to be like Rashawn has a good year, Lucas Van Ness has a good year, and, you know, like, you got, like, two other players who are balling out of their minds.
Well, it's like, you don't have, I mean,
you need the unit, the Georgia unit.
Where are our holes, right? Like, where are our holes? Like, you could argue safety. Like, and I would agree with you, but it's not like they're egregious holes. Like, we had
previous
years,
corners,
Packers fans,
though.
We had years in the past, and many of you know this, you know, painful memories, our entire safety tandem wouldn't get a single interception or a single turnover. So if that's the floor, like, I believe these guys, you know, however they play this year, I believe they can
Rudy.
Produce a turnover with the sheer amount of first-round picks in the front seven that I just, you know, went over. Man, I mean, like, a really... We're stocked, and if you kind of use expectations, use, like, the slighting, use the people sleeping on them and turn that into, like I'm going for the, I'm jumping this route, or I'm you know sticking on this guy with more concentration than I ever have in a game before. Like, man, those are the kind of things that just build your defense up and build your team up with it. I was really impressed with Kingsley Enagbare. He was a guy who leaped off the screen with me on defense.
It's kind of like the Phillies, right? You know, that was a team where, say, 4 or 5 years ago when they had Carson Wentz and, you know, they
were talking about the Eagles. The Eagles.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles. That's what I meant, Philly. They didn't necessarily have the reputation of having a feared defense, but they had kind of stacked their defense continually.
It was always talented.
And then all of a sudden it's like, yep, that defense is ferocious. They're here and they're probably going to be a problem for a long time. And then they keep reloading on defense. And the next thing you know, Cage, Jalen Hurts is able to really excel because his defense is dominant. He's got good running backs, good offensive line. And why can't the Packers be that surprise defensive team? Because they definitely don't have that reputation right now around the league.
Well, not only this, man, but, like, here's just the bottom line. Which team with a quarterback controversy has ever won a Super Bowl, with the exception of the Philadelphia Eagles, where the guy's, like, been hurt so Carson Wentz isn't coming back, right? I'm talking about the Nick Foles Super Bowl. Like, if you think about the San Francisco 49ers, like, they've had such elite teams, but they've had this quarterback controversy. It's going to be Alex Smith. It's going to be Colin Kaepernick.
Trey Lance looks
is
really
it going to
bad.
Be Trey Lance? It's going to be Jimmy G? Is it going to be Brock Purdy? Like, they've never had a definitive answer with no questions asked. Like the Packers, right? We've had great seasons, but we haven't gone to a Super Bowl. When we won our Super Bowl, it was Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers only. When Tom Brady won his Super Bowls, it was Tom Brady and Tom Brady only. You know, even the Chiefs before Patrick Mahomes really kind of embarked on his own dynasty, Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes going back and forth, they didn't get good until they completely turned the page. You know, Big Ben, when they run their Super Bowls in Pittsburgh, you know, they didn't have any younger quarterbacks waiting behind them. Brett Favre, when he won his Super Bowls in Green Bay, like, he didn't have a quarterback controversy. Like, I think if there's any sniff of a quarterback controversy, your team is not going to win a Super Bowl. And I'm willing to say that the Eagles are the exception to that rule. Back in 2018, I believe that was. Packers, there's zero quarterback controversy. You look at the Jets, there's zero quarterback controversy there either. That bodes extremely well for both of them. You look at our division, Jared Goff, it's interesting, and Kirk Cousins, it's interesting, and even Justin Fields, it's interesting, because there's not really, like, controversy, but there are pressure on all three for different reasons. Yeah, and Jordan Love, right? But I wouldn't say there's, like Jordan Love's kind of got a blank slate. Like, you know, going fail forward, going learn from failure. We're not going to be putting in Sean Clifford, you have my word, unless you're rocked, like, unconscious in the locker room from a big hit or something, you know, which we hope never happens. I'm just trying to think of a few other around the NFL. Like, the Colts, right? Like, how good have the Colts been, but no quarterback, you know, or a rotating door at quarterback for how talented the teams are and stuff like that. You've got to have a surefire, you know, falling in line, 100% unit, you know, following the leader that is the quarterback, really to win a Super Bowl, honestly. Like, I don't really see the running games. You know, how many Super Bowls did Adrian Peterson win? How many Super Bowls did these other guys win? Not as many lately.
No. Packers fans, here's something very interesting. This is a good segue, Cage. People have been asking about Sean Clifford, right? Like, thoughts on Sean Clifford. And I just have to say is one type of player that is not out there in preseason is the elite pass rusher. Not any GM is taking a risk with their elite pass rusher during the preseason games. These guys are treated like, you know, Lamborghinis or Ferraris, right? You take them out when it's the regular season and you let them just cause complete havoc on offensive lines. And Cage, people want to know, like, how will Jordan Love, do you estimate, play against pressure in the regular season for the first time?
Well, we were talking about this, I think, off air. Packers line's pretty good, you know. Has he played against pass rushers before? I think so. I think Chris Jones on the Chiefs is a very talented pass rusher. Jordan Love kind of outplayed Patrick Mahomes on the road that year when Rodgers was out. Yeah, man. I mean, like, it's not going to be easy. You know, I wouldn't want to face down a Micah Parsons. I think it really is not Jordan Love's concern. I think it, like, his mobility is a plus. I think that's the offensive line's concern. I think that's like an A.J. Dillon concern. Who shout to A.J. Dillon. He had a really good block as well, I believe.
That was an amazing block. That was going to be my good Packers.
Yeah, I think. Well, that was good Packers. But yeah,
I've got more. But that was a great one.
Honest man, like, these guys are the highest paid defenders for a reason, and it doesn't really matter what we think. They're going to be there.
Speaking of that block, A.J. Dillon's block on the touchdown pass to Jaden Reed, that's the one you're talking about, right, Cage?
I believe so. It was a nice pickup.
A player comes running free on the blitz, and A.J. Dillon, you know, you got J. Love, I think, in shotgun. A.J. Dillon picks him up and levels him. It was like a one-on-one, you know, stuck in the ground type situation. And for all the things I've been saying about A.J. Dillon, that made me proud of him in that moment as J-Lo slung the touchdown to Jaden Reed. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what's fascinating, Packers fans and Alex, is, you know, running backs are really not getting second contracts right now, but there are some fullbacks in the NFL. For example, we've gotten a chance to get to know Alec Ingold on the Dolphins, really nice guy, played for the Badgers, played for the Raiders, has an incredible story, but he got a second contract. Like, what if we kept A.J. Dillon on the roster in a running back? You know, that's his primary role. But, like, what if you just made him the fullback as well, right?
That is a high-level idea that I have not heard anyone else come up with.
You save the roster spot. You save the money. You get A.J. Dillon more involved. You let him level guys. You let him block guys. He can catch a pass. You know, like, I think it's safe to say A.J. Dillon has underwhelmed a little bit in his
second round, first
3 years of his career, right? Like I would have expected a little more out of A.J. Dillon as a second-round pick running back who can just level guys at this point. We know what's inside there. You know, we've seen the quads. We know he's got it in him. But, man, I mean, put him in a position to succeed. You know, like, the NFL is all about speed.
That's a good idea, man.
Like, it is power, but, like he's going to be here for this year. I don't know how long he's going to stick around because running backs, you know, teams don't like giving him second deals. But he could almost, like, get value. The Packers could find value. He could get a second deal. It's like, what's stopping A.J. Dillon from being the best fullback in the league, man? I think just a chance. I really do.
Just a different outsider perspective. Let us know what you think about that one, Packers fan.
I think if we posted that on Twitter, the haters would really come out, which is hilarious. You know, we're just having fun here, Packers fans. We love getting creative about the team, you know, thinking outside the box. A lot of people thought we were
crazy. All takes go at Ike Packers.
A lot of people thought we were crazy when we started tweeting about Jordan Love in 2020. A lot of people thought we were crazy when we started tweeting about Eric Stokes in the following year. A lot of people thought we were crazy when we started tweeting about Christian Watson. A lot of people thought we were crazy when we projected Lucas Van Ness on Amazon Prime. Guess what? You know, we don't get it right every time, but hey, We're decent at this. We're decent at this. We appreciate everyone kind of riding with us as we discuss these fun topics. Like, what do you think? Could A.J. Dillon thrive as a fullback? Could he be average? Could his taking and giving the Packers an extra roster spot to keep a Samori Toure, to keep an Emmanuel Wilson by putting himself or, like, you know, classifying as like a hybrid RB fullback, you know? I think there's value in that. It's almost like a utility player in baseball, right? Or like a midfielder who's box to box. You can rotate him around in soccer, football, European football, whatever you like to call it. Or maybe a switchable like Giannis or a wing like LeBron in the NBA. You know, that's almost like kind of the approach I'm seeking right here. Because you don't really have that in football. You see some of these tight ends or these wide receivers who like will go in the slot. Maybe some offensive linemen, maybe some defensive linemen will rotate, maybe some DBs. But, like, why not? Why can't A.J. Dillon mow people over with his huge frame as a fullback? Something to think about.
Okay, let's hit some more questions. John wants to know, who's starting opposite of Savage?
I think it's going to be Rudy, correct? Rudy Ford? Oh,
I think Jonathan Owens is, you know, it's kind of up in the air until we see that depth chart, but I lean towards Rudy Ford. That's who I would give it to because he had picks, right? Packers want to create turnovers.
Well, and I think I heard something how they do not want to put Rasul Douglas at safety because it, like, takes away so much of his value as an impact playmaker at cornerback. You know, like, yeah. He is on a bargain surplus deal with his deal, in my opinion.
He's in a lot corner. Of people would agree. And hopefully he can repeat it and get more picks
One of
as
the
well,
most
right?
underrated cornerbacks in the league, big time. We'll see what he does this year. But yeah, any other fan questions? Maybe we could do some good pack, bad pack.
Okay, we have, why is Barry still here? Referring to Joe Barry. I think we've hit this multiple times, but he's got at least four games, right? That was like the bare minimum, and the Packers need to start off good. And if they start off good, he's got the rest of the
season. Let me rephrase that. Or let me build off that. I'll see you, why is Joe Barry still here? And I'll ask you, I'll raise you, and I'll say, why is Josiah DeGuara still here? Why is he still here?
What is he doing? Spend a third round pick on him, my man.
Is this saving face? Like, I mean, could AJ Dillon do a better job than Josiah DeGuara? Well, shit, man. AJ Dillon stays on the field at least. You know, like,
he's got a make or break year. There's Joe people Barry. In the Packers who need to have good seasons, or else they're done. Joe Barry is one of them.
As painful as the losses have been, exactly. Like, as painful as the Packers' losses have been, the Packers' defensive unit has actually been quite capable. You know, I'm not saying they're elite. I definitely am not saying that, but they've been quite capable. They're not a bad unit. You know, they
never let the game get out of hand.
Yeah, you know, the Packers rarely get blown out, except week one. Obviously, they didn't come to play. But yeah, man, you know, at least the heat is on Joe Barry. Like, Josiah DeGuara, this guy's like the invisible man. You know, I don't know what happened to him.
Aquaman.
I don't know where he's been. I don't know, man. But why is he still here? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know if he's going to be here after the camp, Packers fans. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. What else you got, Alex?
Marcus wants to know, will the offensive line hold up?
Bro, who knows? You know, like, that's why you got depth.
Luckily the Packers have depth.
It's football.
No, these guys can be.
We do have.
Remember Bulaga? What we used to call
Glass
this guy
Man Bulaga.
Glassman. Glassman Brian
I was
Bulaga.
Never like Bulaga.
He finished strong with the Packers.
I respected his ability, but I never liked the guy because he was always made of glass. You know, it was like. It was almost like Michael Redd by the end of his Bucks tenure. I was like, look, man, you growing up, you're one of my favorite players, but you haven't played in like 2 years, man. You're like,
and
you're
David Bakhtiari, that's what Updo Wazoo wants to know. He says, why not trade David? And a lot of people are wondering about Bakhtiari, but I like the idea of having an elite left tackle for J-Love.
Exactly, and that's where I'm at, too. There's the dead cap to consider if you want to get technical, but let's talk logic-based. You want the best possible line for your first-year starter. This whole thing implodes if the Packers, you know, obviously
if the O-line,
throw,
you get rid of your O-line.
Can't throw the ball at a decent level or block at a decent level. So I would say, like, look, I'm frustrated with Bakhtiari, too. I think I would like to see him play more games. I think I would like to see him kind of return to that top-of-market form that got him a huge payday. But, man, like, I would rather put him out there than, like, next guy up, you know?
And oh, absolutely.
I hope he stays all healthy, and I think that's why they've kept on. They've held on to him. Will David Bakhtiari be on the team next year?
He's pretty class in terms of pass blocking, and that's valuable.
Yeah, like that's the question: is he going to be here a year from now? We don't know, but that's, you know,
hey,
we're 52 weeks away, so we can banter about that in the future.
It's kind of like you know, you have a wall, and that one. Is like, you know, David Bakhtiari is pretty solid, right? If he's out there, right? If it's breached, well, you know, then the Packers are going to have a problem. What they're going to do at left tackle? Maybe Yoshi Nyman, because it looks like Zach Tomcage is kind of taking over as the right tackle, kind of becoming an Elton Jenkins, like, mini-me in a way, right? Well, like, this guy reminds me so much of Elton.
He's like, yeah. To me, he's like a very much more, like, interesting. I don't know, like Elton Jenkins versus
he's
like
the ACC version.
Yeah, it's like SEC and then like ACC.
Soft to go.
it's interesting. Totally forgot what I was gonna say. Yeah,
exact time. But you know, offensive line, we're excited, Packers fans. We've always been enjoying it. Cage, we just have a couple more things I'm going to hit you on the rapid fire.
Yeah.
Just give me some quick takes. Try to keep it to one sentence. Romeo Doubs, top graded wide receiver in the preseason so far. Wide receiver one or wide receiver two?
Ooh, I'm going to go with wide receiver two/three.
2-3. Okay. Green Bay, Vikings, Lions, Bears, rank the NFC North teams best to worst. This is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to say Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. I think it's one more year, and I think the Packers have a good shot to, you know, be better than the Lions. Until okay. the Lions prove me that they can redo it, I'm not buying.
I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm going to go Detroit, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, and then Chicago Bears. And here's why, Packers fans. I really grasp at this because the Vikings have probably the best QB in the division. They also have the best receiver in the division. At this current point in time, things could change.
He's going to score. But,
so it's like, you know who else had the best receiver in football last year? The Las Vegas Raiders with Devontae Adams. Like, how many wins did they get?
I would love... Hey, the Vikings are close to imploding. They are. But yeah, I think it's
and,
1 year
and so
away.
It's like, the Bears, you know, they're not that talented yet either. They have a lot more picks because of that number one overall pick trade, which I really thought was a great deal for them. So I think, like, let's revisit them in a year from now. They're going to be... Packers, man, I really think people are sleeping. I'm not just saying that because this is my team. I really think they're sleeping. And the Lions, I think that they're... it's almost like it's their time, man. And we got to, like... assert our dominance over them. Like, they've kind of been that, you know, like, you've ever seen the show Vikings, like, Viking tribe takes over the town. Well, so you got to take it back, you know, and it happens frequently. And I think the Packers are going to do that. So
very, very interesting.
Who's going to have more wins, Jordan Love or Justin Fields? I think it's going to be Jordan Love, man.
Me too.
It's a complete crapshoot, though. I mean, like,
I'm not buying the Mayfield type, but
it's exciting.
We'll see. I got another question for you, Cage. Malik Heath, is he going to make the Packers' final roster, the wide receiver?
I mean, I would rather have him than DeGuara. I think you got to keep him, whether it be on the roster, the practice squad. Like, I like SEC receivers. He's balling. You know, that's really all you can ask for. He's not some pipsqueak guy. Like, he's 6'2", very athletic. You know when they had that pre-draft photo of DK Metcalf in the weight room where it's just like a transformer, like the guy literally looks like Hercules.
Somehow fake news convinced the world that this guy was not good
exactly.
at running routes.
Exactly. I'm like look at this man, you know, like he's probably gonna be a beast, but like I, you know, researching the numbers, researching his stats, all that stuff,
taking
like,
one look at the photo, like, my guy.
No, exactly. And it's like, why overcomplicate it? You know what I'm saying? So Malik Heath, I'm going to take a page out of the DK Metcalf playbook, who happened to also play at Ole Miss. Uh-huh. So let's not overcomplicate it. Let's keep him on the roster. Whoever these receivers, you know, end up balling are going to be rewarded immensely. There's a lot of money to be had. I know Green Bay would love to give out another receiver deal.
It's an open slate for a guy like Devontae. Who's the next Devontae? Is it Dubs? Is
will
it
Devontae
Watson?
Return?
Is it Reed?
Or will Devontae go to New York? That'll be interesting as well. I think the Jets need some serious O-line help. Yeah, man. I mean, if Rodgers is dancing in the pocket all day, it doesn't really matter who you are.
Well, Cage, this is very interesting, Packers fans, because maybe I just want to wrap up on this. You saw the fights and the scrums between the Patriots in practice and the Packers team, and there were moments where there were five or six rough scrums. And quote to the, you know, the people that were there in person said that the Packers looked dejected and the Patriots looked like they had won the day. And I thought to myself, Bill Belichick is just running this thing like it's Sparta. He's letting his Warriors go out there and fight in training camp. And he runs it just at a high level of football intensity, right? Yeah. Like, lets them scrap it up.
Sends him out to the Wolves.
He who's always known for signing the Gerard Mayo, you know, the guys that, you know, essentially, Cage, you can under Belichick, they'd work, right?
Yeah.
And one thing about Belichick is I think that's good for the Packers to experience in the preseason, get that toughness. And here's something really funny about the offensive line is that the reason the Jets do not have a good offensive line is because Bill Belichick traded with the enemy when they said they were going to take the offensive lineman because the Jets are in the same division as the Patriots, and he wanted to sabotage them. I mean, the guy is literally on that level, Cage.
Yeah, I mean,
sabotaging the Jets' O-line.
Probably the greatest football coach of all time. There, like, with respect to Lombardi, you know, you make a case, you know, pick your era. I've witnessed the Bill Belichick with my own eyes. I'm a huge... I have tremendous respect for him.
Just a commander.
Like, winning speaks.
General.
You know? And winning is a result of, like, details, preparation. Winning is a result of the desire to prepare. And, man, Bill Belichick, like, I agree with you. If there's anyone to have a joint practice with, it's the Patriots. I remember I was listening to an interview a few years ago from a Packers player who talked about, or maybe he was on, like, the Redskins at the time, but he's talking about... you know, they had joint practices, the Redskins and the Patriots. And he said, what was the difference? You just notice all the little things the Patriots did at a higher level. Like, that's why they win Super Bowls. And so if the Packers can get exposed to that, if we can get a few, you know, scrums with that team to toughen us up and just get us, you know, get our juices flowing, get our attention to detail on and focused. Man, what a tremendous win. I love these joint practices, training camp fights. I don't see any problem with it. You know, this is football. This isn't like figure skating. Bring on the fights. Bring on the violence. You know, this is why we love football. Let's be real.
Yep. Packers fans, we also appreciate and love all of you. Thank you so much for all your support. We're hoping to go big this season, and we love going big on the giveaways as well. So do not go anywhere. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. Share this with a friend.
Text
them. That will mean a lot. You know, text them. Ask them some of those questions.
Ask them about the A.J. Dillon thing. Say, crazy idea. Is it totally insane to give A.J. Dillon some fullback packages? I don't know. You know, it would open up another roster spot. Like, do the Packers have any holes in their defense? That's another good one. You know, you could talk about Bakhtiari. There's a lot of juicy topics this week, whether it's, you know, Malik Heath. I mean, Jordan Love, like, best team in the division.
Kingsley and Igbari.
The growing rivalry, like the S-talking from all the fan bases. I know you've seen that too, Packers fans. If you're on Twitter, you know, there's been an increase in that this
NFL, offseason. I think someone actually said this, Cage. Quote, the guy I was having lunch with said, I am hyped for the NFL season a little extra this year. I don't know why. And you know what I said to him? Me too, man. Me too, Packers fans.
I'm so hyped.
Let's get it. Let's go. We'll catch you next time. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go forever.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers Podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go Pack, go.
Yeah, it's all in my head. Here we go yet again, getting drunk with my friends. Smoking one in my bed, I guess. I need to find a new way out. I need to clear my head. Some things are better unsaid. And now I'm writing. Feeling like I'm flying. You always act like I've been lying to you. I'm just saying. Well, it's just, yeah, it's all in my head. Here we go yet again, getting drunk with my friends. Smoking one in my bed, I guess. I need to find a new way out. I need to clear my head. Some things are better unsaid.